Well, tonight, what week are we in? I don't even know. Week seven? Week seven. We are talking about fellowship tonight. And I'm actually kind of excited about this because it's when we get together, right? Networking. The networked believers. Who know what networking is? Who's heard of networking before? Probably parents talk about it. Networking is when you kind of hook up with people that are doing the same thing that you do or whatnot. And you talk about, in general, it's about work and stuff like that, but it could be about anything. And so we're sort of networking here, right? So tonight we're going to talk about fellowship. So let's dive into it. What is it? What is fellowship? Well, fellowship is, by definition, a community of interest or activity or feeling or experience. And but more generally, fellowship could be something like being on a team. Anybody play sports in here? Malone plays sports. Anybody in extracurricular activities like an academic group or the band? So when you're in those groups, you're in fellowship with your other people because you have a common cause or a common interest, and you gather together and you play music or you bond as a team. If you've ever played football before, they say like offensive linemen have to work together a whole bunch to be able to come together and kind of know what the other person's thinking. If you ever played sports before, you kind of know what that means. You sort of like get eyes in the back of your head because you know that person that's your teammate that you've been with and you practice with a whole bunch is going to be right there. But as believers, we have Christ in common, which ties us together and therefore gives us unity. So in other words, as we hang out, as we are right now, or with each other because we have that in common. So why is fellowship or community important? Why is fellowship important? It's important for three reasons. Reason number one, it keeps us encouraged. So, when we are around each other and meet just like this, we can be there for each other, we can encourage each other, and uplift each other by our words and just by listening to each other. We have a verse, Hebrews 10:25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. And that day approaching is Christ's return. So as we meet, it's important for us to remember what the goal is. The goal is to win more people to Christ. But it can be tough, right? You get knocked down. Everybody started going back to school today, right? And who's noticed that the world's kind of messed up, right? I mean, you have, and I'm not going to try to bring bad subjects, but you guys are dealing with it. You have school shootings, right? You have economic issues. Not that that bothers you yet, but you will when you get a little bit older. You have the Kardashians. I mean, those are really big world problems, right? And it can knock you down, right? It can knock you down. But when you come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, you can encourage each other, okay? Because guess what? One day, you're going to be on top of the world, right? And you're going to come up here. Man, I'm feeling Christ in my life today. And you're going to come in here, and there's going to be somebody that's bumming, you know? Maybe their friend's not talking to them. Maybe they flunked a test. Maybe the boy or the girl that they think's cute isn't looking at them the right way. And the next day, it could be flip-flopped, and you could be down. And that person could be up. And that's what we do as brothers and sisters in Christ. We encourage each other, and we lift each other up because that's what Christ commands us to do. Number two, it keeps us unified. We are a family, we're God's family, and being unified by one simple truth, and that is to love God and love each other and the others around us to make us strong enough to cover sin, because love will cover a multitude of sin. We have a verse, 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sin. Satan likes to attack us when we are not unified, okay? And that goes back to the first point about encouragement. If you are alone and you feel like you're alone, Satan will attack you, okay? And so it's like the buddy network, okay? He likes to conquer and divide. He likes to make you think that you're not worthy of encouragement, okay? He likes to make you think that you're not worthy of somebody else's love. And when I say love, I'm talking about the agape love, the general love, your friend's love, that type of love. He wants you to be separated, kind of like a wolf separates off sheep. Because when he separates you, that's when he can tear you down and make you start doubting all the promises that God has made for you and has promised you. Forgiveness for our brothers and sisters is where that love is example. Satan will attack you simple ways. He'll let little things between your friends drive you apart, okay? He'll sit there and make those types of slights, whatever it may be, fester to where you're unwilling to have forgiveness for your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's another way that he divides and conquers us. Okay? Satan wants us divided because it also ruins our testimony. So, if you've professed that you're a Christian to your friends, okay? And Satan can get you to act just like everybody else, he's ruining your testimony. Okay? But if you can sit there and let that slight fall off like water off a duck's back, and you can forgive somebody no matter how many times they wrong you. And I'm not saying that you be a doormat, but what I'm saying is you continue to show compassion and love and forgiveness, which is what Christ commands us to do. If you can't forgive somebody like Christ commands you, do you have Christ in you? No, you don't. Number three, it keeps us excited. When you are excited about Christ and about fellowship, you come in here and you're excited about it, and you're excited about learning about Christ, and you're excited about talking to your friends about Christ and praying with them and encouraging them, you will carry that out into the world. You will carry that out, and people will see Christ's light in you, okay? Who's excited about coming here tonight? I was excited because I knew I get to talk to you guys and you weren't allowed to move, so that's awesome. All right? You had to sit here and listen to whatever drivel I was going to throw at you, but hopefully you don't think it's drivel. You think it's actually kind of neat. Because fellowshipping tonight is what we're doing, okay? We're doing that, and it's exciting. Acts 2:42-43. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, into breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Now, technically we're Baptists here, and you know that I like praying, and when you pray, you also got to eat. We always eat when we're Baptists, so that always, I'm always excited that you come into here, you're going to get food. But it's also about being together with each other and being able to uplift each other. It's exciting to talk and to encourage people and to see them grow in their faith. So, how do we experience this community and fellowship? Well, it's not really rocket science, people. It's not. We've been doing it tonight. What do? We come in here early, we hang out, right? And we ask people how they're doing, and what's going on in their life. And maybe they show you photos on their phone and you talk to them. And then we play some games, right? And those are good. But what else do? We pray, right? We worship. I think we hit those. We're just like a bullet item list, right? In a little bit, we're going to learn some more about Christ. We're going to do discipleship. So when we do these things, we are focusing on Christ. We focus on the person of Jesus Christ and not ourselves. That's one of the ways that we fellowship. We don't focus on ourselves, correct? We don't have each other in common, right? We have Jesus in common. Every one of us in here, I hope, has accepted Christ as our Savior. And Jesus should be our focus. And how we act and what we say should be honoring to Him. But not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. Those days are important. Every day. Now, does that mean that every day you're going to be on your Christian A game? Nope. It's not. I'm not. There's days when I just don't have it. Who's experienced that? Right? But see the two bullet items back about encouragement. You get around your friends. They encourage you. There's days when I come in here and it's Wednesday and work's kicking me, right? Had a bad day at work, and you're coming there. I don't want to go here tonight. And I get in here, and it starts melting away, right? All that crap out in the world, we talked about that. It'll drag you down, okay? But you get in here, and you start focusing on Christ. And it starts getting better. 2 Corinthians 4:5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. So we have Jesus in common. We come in here. We talk about Him. We talk about our lives. But Jesus is in our lives, so that just it interweaves together, okay? We encourage fellow believers to grow in Christ. One of the other things we do, we come in here. So let's say you're a new Christian or you're an old Christian. But if you're a new Christian, some of this, as we like to talk about, is Christianese, right? It's like another language. You don't quite understand what they're saying. I was there. I didn't become saved until I was 26. I'm like, man, are they speaking English? Sometimes, you know, they start talking all these Christian terms. I'm like, I'm not picking it up. Who's been in that before, right? Am I praying the right way? Guess what? If you're talking to God, you're praying the right way. It doesn't have to be a certain way. But you know what? That can discourage people. That's where Satan will attack you. You're not praying the right way. He'll be sit there and whisper in your ears, you're not praying the right way. They're going to laugh at you. They may not show it to your face, but they're laughing at you. Satan. Encourage each other to grow in Christ. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. We can help each other grow in our faith and closer to Christ by keeping each other accountable and encouraging each other. Does that mean that you give your buddies a pass when they do something that's not really cool? No, you hold them accountable, but you still forgive them, but you hold them accountable. And you can do both of those. You can do both of those things. You can hold somebody accountable, but that doesn't mean that you throw them away. You forgive them, but you hold them to task. Partnership between your brothers and sisters in Christ. You guys have friends that are Christians, okay? And when you're adults, they use fancy words like accountability partner. But guess what? You guys do this, and you may not even know you're doing it. You text each other. You call each other on the phone. Man, I'm having a crappy day. And that person can pray for you. Text them, say, hey, I'm struggling today. Just pray for me. Or get on the phone. But don't hold it inside, people. Reach out to your brothers and sisters in Christ, because I'm telling you right now, what Satan wants you to do is keep it inside. He wants you to keep it inside, because when he keeps it inside and you're struggling with something, he's going to tell you, well, they're not struggling with that. You're the only one dealing with that kind of stuff. And he's going to sit there and manipulate you. You have accountability partner or prayer partner. Have those lines of communication open so that you can talk to your friends in Christ, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And if I'll tell you what, if anybody in here wants an accountability partner, I'll give out my cell phone number. You can text me. If you need me to pray for you during the week, text me. Say, I need prayer right now, and I'll be on it. So, our connection point for tonight. What does your fellowship look like? Who are you hanging out with? Are they good people? When you're hanging out with those people, do you feel like you're edifying Christ? If Jesus was standing right there next to you, would you be feeling bad, or would you be feeling good? Are they good influences? You know? Do they encourage you? Are you with friends that no matter what, they never encourage you? If you get friends that never encourage you, probably the wrong friends. And are you joyful around them? Do you act around them like you do in here? Do you let Christ's joy in your life shine out when you're around them? Because if you're not, you're probably not around the right people. So I want you to think about those questions. So let's bow your heads. Dearest Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you that you gave me the privilege of coming up here tonight and talking to these young men and women about how what we're doing tonight is what it's all about fellowship with you and fellowship with each other and learning about you. And as I mentioned earlier, Lord, if there's anybody here tonight sitting that hasn't accepted you as a personal Savior, doesn't know what that means, have them come up, please, and talk to me afterwards. I'm pretty easy going. You can come up to me, and we can sit down, and we can talk about a little bit of Jesus. Lord, I love you. I praise you. And it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.